his life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? I'm beginning to see the light.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning, you'll find in your bulletin and on the screen up here behind me. We'll be reading together this morning from the letter, the book of 2 Peter. We'll be reading the chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. So if you want to turn there with me, we can read God's word together. 2 Peter, chapter 3. And this morning we'll be reading verses 13 through 18. So beginning at verse 13, we find these words. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, grant us now ears to hear your word. Allow us, Father, to see the glory of your kingdom. And Lord, to receive the fellowship of your Son through the preaching of your word. Change us, save us, make us what you would have us to be. In Christ's precious name, amen. I trust you have celebrated and enjoyed the incarnation of the Son, God with us this Christmas season. And this morning, December 30th, we find ourselves at the close, the wrap-up of another year. And we're even on the threshold of a new one. Many of us have already made plans. Some of us have already made plans for vacations for 2019. We've probably already made some plans here amongst us. Some people have probably already made plans for even a wedding or a change of career, trips abroad, moves, graduations, birthdays. Lots of plans already made for 2019. But as James notes, in James 4:14, he says, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring." We make plans for 2019 not knowing what even tomorrow, let alone all of 2019, has in store for us. You see, life in a fallen world, and that's where we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world amongst fallen people. We ourselves being fallen. Living in a fallen world with fallen people brings with it much uncertainty. There's a lot about 2019 we don't know. In 2019, we might experience happiness and sadness. We might experience joy and grief. 2019, we might experience gain and loss. We might experience all of those things or none of those things or any combination of those things. Because When we gaze out over the landscape that is 2019 coming at us, it is uncertain. We do not know what it will bring. The price of gas is going to go up and down. Interest rates, careers, health, bank accounts, they're all going to go up and down. We don't know where they're going to land. The political landscape will continue to shift and move. Name calling back and forth. All that stuff is going to go on. But it's uncertain where things are going to land when the dust settles at the end of 2019. But the Word of God endures forever. It does not change. Psalm 119, 160 says this: "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." So in this coming year, as you seek, knowing the uncertainty, knowing the ups and downs, the shifting, knowing all of that, in this coming year, when you seek to anchor your life on something that's fixed and firm, something that's unmovable, I would suggest you anchor your life on the Word of God. And with that in mind, I thought it seemed appropriate this morning, as we put away 2018 and we're looking towards 2019 and the uncertainty that we know is made up, that it's made up of, looking forward to that, I thought it was appropriate to spend some time this morning looking at Peter's last words to the church. They're in 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter was written sometime around 67, 68 AD, somewhere around there. It was written just prior to his crucifixion in Rome. This is Peter's last word to the church, his final words to the church. The church Peter was writing to at the time was facing an increase of persecution. Persecution of Christians was on the rise from a growing and worsening godless society. Persecution was on the rise. There was an influx, a wave of false teachers presenting a different Jesus than the one that we see in the Gospels. A distorting of God's Word by these false teachers, all the while these false teachers calling themselves Christian. The lives of these believers was uncertain. And so I thought it seemed appropriate for us to look at Peter's closing words to a people facing an increase of persecution, a rise of false teaching, and an uncertain future. Look with me at the last two verses there of chapter 3. That's what I want to focus on this morning. There's a lot here in the passage that we read together. I wish I had time to cover it all, but I just want to look at these last two verses. Let me read them again. Peter writes, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." There is, just in those last two verses, three things that I want you to take note of. There's a warning, there's an exhortation, and there's a praise. A warning, an exhortation, and a praise. Let's first look at the warning in verse 17. Again, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability." This has always been, for all time, since the beginning of the church, this has always been a valid warning for God's people. The warning of false teachers spreading lies, painting a picture of a different Jesus than the one we find in the scriptures, twisting God's word, changing it to suit their own end and their own purpose. This isn't the first time Peter made mention of this. Flip over to chapter 2. He earlier spoke of this very thing in chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, Peter writes there, he says, "But false prophets also arose among the people." He's speaking about ancient Israel. That's what happened to ancient Israel. They had false prophets. "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you." Not maybe, not if. This isn't a potential problem, Peter's saying. This is going to happen. "Just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be blasphemed." This has always been a valid warning for God's people. And it's no less valid for us today in 2019. Again, there's no question about if you're going to be exposed. When you go out the door this morning, there's no question about whether or not you might be exposed to a false teacher. You're going to be. In this coming week, you're going to be exposed to false teaching, to lies, to a different Jesus, to a different gospel. You will be exposed this week to that. The big question is, will you recognize it when you hear it? Can you recognize a false Jesus? When you hear a false gospel about health and wealth, and God wants you to have the best parking spot at Walmart, when you hear that, will you recognize it as a false gospel? We laugh at that, but you know what? There's people who preach that. There's people who preach that. Since the Garden of Eden, Satan has been twisting God's word. Those people who do not know God have been twisting God's word to their own end and their own purpose. They have always been false teachers. Paul gives us a similar warning in 1 Timothy. Chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Paul writes there to Timothy. He says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith." And notice how their departure is characterized. "Some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared." False teaching. And then turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, beginning of verse 3, Paul writes there, he says, "For the time is coming," and I would say, and now here, "for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." One of the biggest reasons why there's such a huge amount of false teachers available today is because there's an even huger, a bigger desire for false teaching. The biggest reason why you can turn your TV on, turn it to TBN, and hear the latest false teaching from Benny Hinn is because there's millions of people who want to hear it. For many people who call themselves Christians, this is no more good enough. This is not enough. They want more. They want something new. They want something fresh. They want something different. They want something personalized. For some people, the Word of God doesn't endure forever. They want something else. And this false teaching comes to us in many forms. Many forms. Look again at the warning from Peter. Can you go back to that? You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care. That means guard over, watch closely, guard yourself. Take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. He's not talking about losing your salvation, but your assurance of salvation. You're not losing your salvation, but you can lose your assurance of it. When you're on shaky ground of false teaching, do not be carried away with the error of lawless people. And that error comes to us in so many forms, so many ways. That error comes to us on the radio and the TV. You can get on the internet, you hit Google, blogs. You can find this false teaching everywhere. The most prevalent way it comes to us is in the form of books. I don't know if there's any more bookstores, Christian bookstores locally that you can even walk into anymore. But it used to be you'd walk into a Christian bookstore. The majority of what's being sold there is false teaching. At the worst, or at the least, it's the author using verses out of context to support some point of theirs. But the vast majority of it was unhealthy for Christians. In my study, an interesting fact I came across. Since 2011, overall book sales have declined 5.1%. That's books of all sort, all genre of books. Over those years, since 2011, book sales have declined 5.1%. But religious, the category of religious books, the sales have increased 6.9%. People are going out there buying religious books. But the majority of what people are buying, you look at the Christian bestseller list out there, and the majority of it is garbage. They paint a false picture of who Christ is. Some of them are absolute outright heresy. Christianity is swamped with false teaching. And I just want to, at the close of 2018, as we look forward to 2019, I just want to echo Peter's warning. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care. Take care of what you're reading. Take care of what you're watching. So much of it takes away from Christ's goal for the church, which is to be found without spot or blemish. To find a church that knows, a bride who knows who her groom is and what to expect from him. So much of what's written today takes away from what the church is actually supposed to be about. We're supposed to be one body. We're supposed to be one family, not thinking about ourselves, but instead pouring our lives into the lives of other people. So many of us are broken and hurting and messed up. That's all of us, truth be known. We need each other. That's why Christ calls us together into one body. In Christ, we're one body. His view of the people of the church are people whose lives are intermingled with one another. That's something the world needs to see. And so much of the false teaching takes away from that. Let's look at the exhortation. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. So we had a warning, and now we have an exhortation. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter exhorts the church then and now, grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The solution for the danger of being carried away by all that false teaching is found here in verse 18. The solution for verse 17 is in verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think of it this way. It's not hard to imagine all that false teaching. Imagine it being poison, okay? That's poison. It really is poison. If it is poison, and it is, the remedy for it of people who are exposed to this poison every single day, the remedy for it is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's the solution. That's what you should do in relation to the warning. That's his exhortation for us. If you still have your Bibles, turn with me to John 15. I want you to note something Jesus said that's very important. And it's indirectly related to what Peter's saying here. John 15, 5. Earlier on verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine. Okay, he wouldn't have to say I'm the true vine if there wasn't a false vine. He says, I am the true vine. And then in verse 5, he says this, I am the vine, you, his disciples, that's us. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We have to be connected to the true vine. We have to be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ if we're going to be remedied or protected against the poison that is the false teaching that is so prevalent beyond these walls. If you want some stability in your life of uncertainty for 2019, you have to be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Peter began this letter, his last letter to the church. He began his letter much in the same way he closes it. Let me show you that. He bookends this letter with really the same thought. Turn to back to 2 Peter chapter 1 now. And he begins this letter with the same idea that he closes it with. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 2. He says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He commends to us grace and peace. God's grace, he commends that to the people of God. He commends that to the church. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So Peter's point here at the beginning of the letter and at the end of the letter, it's the same in both places. That we as the church would experience all the fullness of God's grace that we absolutely positively can. He commends the fullness of God's grace to us. It was Peter's desire that we as a church would experience as much of God's grace in our lives that we possibly could. But look where that grace is to be found. If you were going to ask, I want to experience all of God's grace. How, Peter, can that, where is that multiplied to me? How do I find that? Where is that at? How does that grace come to me? Notice where Peter says in verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now notice where he says it's found. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Just like he says at the end of the letter, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's found in knowing him. Drive down to even to verse 3. Look what he continues with the same idea, really. He's going to tell us that everything we need as a body of believers to live a life of uncertainty in the midst of false teachers everywhere for 2019, God gives to us. God makes available for all of his people everything you could possibly need to live a life of peace and grace, a life that's pleasing to Him for 2019. He makes all of that available. Where's it at? Look at verse 3. His, God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now notice where it's found. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Everything we need to be the people God wants us to be can be found in the knowledge of Him who called us. Peter's warning and exhortation for the church in this age of uncertainty, an age of uncertainty that's filled with poison of false teaching, we can fully receive by knowing Christ. We can receive the full remedy of God's grace in our lives and be the people He wants us to be by knowing Christ. So the next logical question is, do you know Him? Do you know Him? He's found right here. We can read in the Old Testament of His promise coming. We can see in the Old Testament the need for a Messiah, the need for a sinless Savior. We can read in the Gospels His coming, the incarnation, God with us. We can read letters of explanation of how the gospel is to be lived out in the lives of God's people in all these letters of the New Testament. We can know Him right here in His Word. Do you know Him? When you go out the door today and you hear the voice of false teachers, you hear the voice of a false Jesus, are you going to recognize it as such? Can you recognize the voice of the true Christ? Can you recognize the voice of the shepherd? John chapter 10, Jesus talks about being the good shepherd and how the sheep know His voice. His sheep know His voice and His sheep will follow Him. Do you know His voice? For you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord, it has to begin with knowing Him in a saving way. Have you turned from your sin and put your faith and trust in the One who died on the cross for sinners like you and like me? Can you recognize the voice of the true Christ? We have to repent of our sin and put our faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. That's what we're going to do right here this morning. That's what this table is for, and the tables on the left and the right and the back. These tables, this bread and this juice, is to aid in our remembering that a sinless Son of God came into this world and died. He suffered, bled, and died to save sinners like you and me from our sin. Do you recognize His voice?
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message, or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.